We're looking at Ruth tonight, and we're looking at a couple of verses. Oh, sorry. So we're looking at Ruth, and we're going to look at the third chapter and the fifth and the sixth verse. I love verse 5. Actually, I love all of Ruth, but I just love the testimony of Ruth in verse 5, because Naomi, in the previous verses, has given her really good instructions, specific instructions, detailed instructions on what she needs to do to prepare herself to meet Boaz. That pause is nice. I can put that on pause, so that was kind of nice. Anyway, verse 5 is, and verse 6 are the verses we're going to look at, and verse 5 says, and this is Naomi's response, and I just love it, and she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And in verse 6, she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Aren't those two wonderful verses? All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And I just thought, what a wonderful attitude Ruth has in response to the words of Naomi. And her response basically just can be summed up in one word. Obedience. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. That's obedience. And the word all shows the type of obedience it is. Full obedience. You know, I really believe there are different degrees of obedience in the life of a child of God. Different levels of obedience, different degrees of obedience. And Ruth obeyed, but she obeyed all. Everything that her mother-in-law said, that's full obedience. She heard all that, and the first part is she heard it all. All that thou sayest, I've heard everything that you said. I've heard it all. I've listened to it all. And then she agreed to do it all. All I will do. See, it's all that thou sayest, I've heard it all, and all I will do. I will do it all. In other words, she holds nothing back. She just gives everything. And that's full obedience. Now, that's easier said than done. It's easy to say, oh, how wonderful to have full obedience, but it's sometimes hard to do that. And I was thinking about this morning when I was meditating on this lesson, and I thought the testimony that Ruth has here really is a picture of the obedience of Christ, who obeyed in all things. You could say this is what Jesus said to the Father, all that thou sayest I will do. Well, he did actually. The Apostle Paul tells us in Hebrews 10 and in verse 4 that when Jesus was speaking to the Father, and he's quoting one of the Psalms, Jesus said, I come. And then he says, in the volume of the book it is written of me. But he says, I come to do thy will, O God. There's a little parenthesis, and if you take out the parentheses, Jesus in Hebrews 10:7 says, I come to do thy will, O God. All that thou sayest, I will do. He tells us, Jesus tells us in, if you turn over to John chapter 5 and look at verse 30, you see this attitude of heart that he had, and this is my jumping off point for something, but in John chapter 5 and looking at verse 30, and I know you're familiar with this scripture, but Jesus makes this statement, I can of mine own self do nothing. I think Ruth probably, when she was faced with the knowledge that Boaz was their kinsman redeemer, and that he had an obligation and a right that he could exercise on their behalf, but it was going to be up to Ruth to present herself unto him and lay claim to that right of kinsman redeemer on her behalf, I think Ruth may have said to herself, well, I can't of my own self do nothing. I can't do it myself. I need some instruction. I need some guidance. And that's dependence and that's obedience. And Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And Ruth here is not seeking her own will here. This is the will of Naomi that has sent her. These are Naomi's words. These are Naomi's instructions. This is the desire of Naomi's heart for Ruth because that chapter starts out, the third chapter starts out with Naomi saying, I will seek rest for you. That's the desire of my heart. And so Ruth says, well, this isn't my own will, this is your will, but I'm going to submit my will to your will. And this is your desire, and you're the one that has sent me to Boaz. I didn't volunteer to do this. You sent me to Boaz. You gave me these instructions. You pointed me in the direction. You told me to go. And that's just the testimony of Christ here. The other testimony that Jesus has is in John chapter 8 and verse 28, and it's a scripture that you're probably very familiar with. And Jesus says in John 8, 28, I do always those things that please him. Ruth is doing, we never find anything in Ruth pertaining to an attitude where she questions or chafes at or is discontented or tired of doing something. She just always does those things that would please Naomi, that would please the God of Naomi. That's the desire of her heart, to please somebody else. And that's the true testimony of a servant, to please somebody else first, not please yourself. And what I wanted you to see here is, if we see first the obedience of Christ, that this was really the testimony of Christ, the next thing that we see in Naomi and ourselves in type as Naomi is, this is the obedience of the Christ life. This is Christ in us that renders this obedience. Only Christ in us can say, all that thou sayest I will do. That's the obedience of the Christ life. And this is the obedience of a full overcomer. And you can't have a simpler testimony and a better testimony than that. It just takes all the weight of responsibility off of your shoulders. The Word of God tells us what to do. The Lord tells us what to do. The Holy Spirit tells us what to do. And without question, we just say, all that thou sayest, I will do. And only Christ in us can render that type of obedience, because that's the type of obedience, as we just saw in Hebrews 10 and John 5 and John 8, that Jesus rendered. I thought about Ruth's obedient testimony is a picture of that same testimony that Christ shows, and it is, in a sense, a picture of the Christ life fully surrendered to the will of God. We all, each of us, have the Christ life, but what you do with the Christ life is up to you. How you yield to the life of Christ in you is your choice. Every child of God has that life of Christ, but not every child of God renders that type of obedience. But when the life of Christ in you is fully surrendered to the will of God and the Word of God, then you have this testimony where others look on and hear you say, all that thou sayest I will do. The other thing that I thought about is that Ruth's obedience is twofold. It's an obedience to God and it's an obedience to man. It's an inward obedience and it's an outward obedience. Begins with the heart first. You truly cannot have this type of obedience until it first is right here in your heart. There's a lot of outward obedience where the heart hasn't entered into it, and it's just not the same. It doesn't give the same fragrance, and it doesn't change you in the way that the obedience that comes from the heart changes you and affects you and affects those around you. This was an obedience to man and God, because what was one of the Ten Commandments pertaining to parents? Honor your father and your mother. Was that not obedience? She was, in her heart, Naomi was her mother. And I don't know that the Moabites had anything like that. But God did. And I think when she was in the household of Naomi, and she learned this from the Word of God, honor thy father and thy mother. And I think this is one of the foundations from which her obedience comes from. The Word of God says, I need to honor what is taught to me by my parents. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, children do what? Obey your parents. It's amazing how obedience is such an essential part of the life of a child of God. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 1 and look at verse 8, because we're talking about a mother here. And so Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 mentions a mother and a mother's instruction and our attitude towards a mother's instruction. And so Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, we find the words that say, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother," the teaching of thy mother. So when we look at her obedience, "All that thou sayest I will do," it flows forth from this desire to obey God and to honor Naomi, whom she loves so deeply. And it is a heart obedience. Turn over to Romans chapter 6 and look at verse 16, because I thought of the scripture this morning when I was looking at this. The Apostle Paul is writing the Roman saints, and he's talking about their obedience in chapter 6. And in chapter 6 of Romans, he's talking about the type of obedience they have and where it originates. So Romans chapter 6, verse 17, and you can look at this scripture so many different ways. But in Romans 6:17, Paul is giving thanks. And I have written in my Bible by the word obeyed that that's the whole secret to victory. Paul says in Romans 6, verse 17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed." From where? The heart. And I have written in my Bible, I circled obeyed, and I put the whole secret of victory, obeying, and not just obeying, but obeying from the heart. This is, so he says, "You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was declared unto you." There was a teaching there, a doctrine that was presented unto them, and without question, and without maybe fully understanding it, and I have written in my Bible, that's water baptism he's talking about here, but that attitude of obedience flows over into every aspect of doctrine. It has to be obedience from the heart, heart obedience. And that's what we see Ruth in this statement, "All that thou sayest I will do." It's obedience from the heart. And to me, that's a picture of the bride. It's a picture of the full overcomer. We use the term overcomer and we use the term full overcomer. And when I use the term full overcomer, I like to attach on the opposite side of it full obedience. Full overcomer, full obedience. And one of the scriptures that popped into my head, I was taking a walk this morning and I was thinking about a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, which is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But one of the scriptures that popped into my mind was that love believeth all things and hopeth all things, but believeth all things. If you have a love that is for the Lord and for those that are instructing you in the Word of God, as Naomi was instructing Ruth, you just believe it. You believe it all. And I'm sure that what she was asked to do in Ruth's mind probably seemed a little bit unorthodox and strange and demeaning and humbling, and maybe she was a little bit nervous and scared about entering in late at night and laying down at a man's feet in the midst of all these other people and expecting him to behave circumspectly toward her and not misunderstand her motives and treat her with honor and respect. And love believeth all things. I love the Lord. I love His Word. I love the one that's instructing me in the Word. And I'll believe what the Word of God has asked me to do. That's full obedience. Remember our lessons in James, in our first chapter of James. What are we to be doing pertaining to the Word? You have your ears and you have your be doers of the Word. And remember in James 1:22, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Ruth is a doer of the word here. All that thou sayest, I will do. I thought, oh, neat, that goes along with our James lesson. There's that little dovetail that Carolyn's talking about. Every once in a while, there'll be something from one lesson that just is like a puzzle piece that fits in the other lesson. So Ruth is a doer of the word and not a hearer only. She's doing exactly what the word of God says, whether she understands it. Then turn over to Romans 16 and look at verse 26, because I thought this was a good scripture reference to show that full obedience. To me, full obedience is to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. That's full obedience. And full obedience is to believe all things, as we see in 1 Corinthians 13:7. And then full obedience is seen in Romans 16:26. So if you would turn over to Romans 16:26, it says, and the Apostle Paul is concluding his letter to the Romans here, and in the previous verse he has talked about how that the Lord is going to establish these saints or strengthen these saints according to his gospel and according to the preaching of Jesus Christ and according to the revelation of that mystery. There's this establishment that it rests upon the gospel of Paul, which is not the salvation message here, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, which is, I guess you could say, more the salvation message. And so you have the message of sanctification and the message of justification, and then you have the revelation of that mystery, which shows us that glorification, the deeper truths that we have there. And in a sense, you can see those three things in what will establish us. Gee, I ought to write that down, because I just thought of that when I was saying this.
There's a pencil. Oh, good.
Yeah, I think I'll write that down, because that's, according to my gospel, would be sanctification. And according to the preaching of Jesus would be justification. And according to that revelation of the mystery would be glorification. I think that's kind of neat. But here he says, the verse I wanted us to look at was verse 26, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for what?
Obedience.
The obedience of faith. I really like that. Full obedience is the obedience of faith. Faith just enters in and says, I'm going to obey. I may not understand it fully, but I'm going to obey it fully. The final aspect of full obedience, it is to believe all things, and it is to be a doer of the word and not a hearer of the word, and it is the obedience of faith. And the fourth thing that I think shows full obedience is in Colossians 3:23. And in Colossians 3:23 we have this statement by the Apostle Paul. Paul says here, in Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it how?
Heartily.
And one of the ways that you can explain what heartily means is with all your heart. So, whatsoever ye do, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. And that's full obedience. And I think Ruth did all those things. Love motivated her. She was not just a hearer, but a doer. And she had that faith that activated her obedience. And she did it with all her heart. So her obedience, I think, is a sweet obedience. I think it is a bridal obedience. I think it is an overcomer's obedience. And one of the things that I thought is a real test for obedience is, if you're asked to do something and you have no idea why I should do it or what the full outcome will be if you do it. And the first example that I thought about was little Samuel. Remember little Samuel in First Samuel, he was raised under Eli's instructions, and Eli, of course, wasn't quite the godly man that he should have been, and the Lord began to speak with Samuel. Remember that night that Samuel kept hearing the voice of the Lord call his name, and he kept running to Eli and thinking it was Eli that had talked to him? Well, one of the things that Eli told Samuel to do, and he just told him to do one thing, and this is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and if you want to write down the reference or turn there, you can, verses 9 and 10. And so Samuel has come to Eli for, I think it's the third time, and said, "You called?" And Eli, in verse 9, said unto Samuel, he's going to give him some instructions that probably he's just going to have to do without full understanding. And Samuel is told by Eli, "Go and lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" You know, he didn't really know why he was saying that or what the full repercussions were or what would happen afterwards, what it really meant. He just did it in obedience. He's just a little boy. And so Samuel is told to just say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." And the next time he heard that voice, it says, "So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" To me, that's obedience. He obeyed Eli's words, but he didn't really understand why he should say that. He didn't say, "Well, why should I say that? It's you that's calling me." He just did what he was asked without fully understanding. And sometimes when we do what we're asked to do by the Lord or by the Word or by the Spirit without fully understanding, we don't really realize what happens the moment we enter into that obedience, what a chain of events it starts, what a road, the direction our feet go on down that road that they might never have gone in that direction. Ruth, when she heard the words of Naomi, she said, "All that thou sayest I will do. I don't really understand it all, but I'll do it." And she had no full idea of what it would mean for her to actually do that and how that would just change her life from that point on. And full obedience just changes our life completely. And then I thought about Saul on the road to Damascus when he saw Jesus and he said to the Lord, "Well, what would you have me to do?" And Jesus told Saul, "Well, I want you to go into the city and wait, and it'll be told you what you shall do." It says that in the 9th chapter of Acts. He didn't say, "I want you to go into the city and this is what you need to do. Just go into the city and it'll be told you what to do." And he waited several days and nothing was told to him. He didn't know. Nobody came and told him what to do the first day or the second day or the third day. That's obedience without full understanding. And he didn't even realize what he would be told to do. Just that obedience says go and do what you're told. One of the commentators I was reading quoted a scripture here from John 7:17 to kind of prove a point here. And I just thought this was an interesting scriptural reference that they would give to kind of emphasize the importance of obedience here. John 7:17. And I think they translated it a little bit differently. I'm going to see how the King James translates it. John 7:17 says, "If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." And so he says, a willingness to obey the Lord is the secret of knowing what he wants us to do and being blessed when we do it. If anyone is willing to do God's will, he will know concerning the teaching, is one of the translations. I really like that. If you're willing to obey the Lord, then the Lord will give you a knowledge of what he wants you to do, and if you do it, you'll be blessed in the doing of it. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. You'll know what the Lord wants you to know, and you'll know that it is of God, and just the knowledge that that is of God will be the beginning of the blessing itself. The will of God is not a cafeteria where we can pick and choose what we want. Thought that was really a good analogy here. You know, you can't say, oh yeah, I want to do this. No, I don't want to do that. I thought that was good. The will of God is not a cafeteria where you pick and choose. Full obedience is you take it all. God expects us to accept all that he plans for us and to obey him completely. So what we see here in Ruth's statement, all that thou sayest I will do, just shows that she has a teachable spirit, an obedient spirit, and that she's willing to be instructed. And to me, that's the testimony of the bride. One of the things that Job says is, and boy, you can look up a lot of scriptures in the Old Testament on the importance of teaching and listening to teaching, but Job says in Job 34:32, that which I see not, teach thou me. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I don't know it or understand it, teach it to me. I thought that's really good, Job 34:32. And of course, one of my favorite scriptures is something that David says in Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. Teach me thy paths and lead me in thy truth. Teach me. Teach me and lead me. We can't have a better attitude of heart than that. And then to finish off this verse, Sister Bodhi says, and this yielded attitude, which is seen in all that thou sayest I will do, and this yielded attitude of which Ruth sets us the example, is the only place in all the earth to find rest. What is she going to do when she comes to Boaz and in doing everything that Naomi says? She's going to lay down and find rest. And what is it that Naomi is seeking for Ruth? Rest. And so Sister Bodhi says, this yielded attitude of which Ruth sets us an example is the only place in all the earth where you can find rest. That is so good. Here we rest from toil and labor. Here we rest from all responsibility, which is something Ruth is doing. We put all our care for spirit, soul, and body on him, and we roll everything over on the shoulders of our Boaz, our strong one, and we leave it there. We let him stand up to our help, fight our battles, and undertake for us in every respect. And here in this utter abandonment of our own way and our own will, we find rest that Jesus gives. So when she says, all that thou sayest I will do, that's an abandonment of her own way and her own will. It's an utter abandonment. And that's how she's going to find rest. Sister Bodhi says, this is that good part which Mary found and which Jesus said no one can take from her. I like that. This is that good part. And then verse 6 says, and here's the fulfillment of that, what she said she would do. All that thou sayest, I will do. And she went down, in verse 6, unto the floor, and she did, according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And so you see here, her acting out. She said it, and she did it. She went down to the place that she was told to go, the floor or the threshing floor, which was that open area where they had been winnowing and threshing the grain. And she did what she was told to do. She did according to how much of what her mother-in-law bade her? All that her mother-in-law bade her. That word all is really the key for this type of obedience. And that word bade means, it has two meanings, and I thought these were so good. The first meaning for to bid somebody here is to give them a charge. In other words, you give them something to do. You tell them specifically, this is what I want you to do. And it means to send them with a command, which is a little bit stronger. And then it also means to send them as a messenger. And I thought, wow, you can see Ruth in all of these. Her actions are really acknowledging Naomi's authority and wisdom in her life. And And she has been charged by Naomi with a great responsibility. And she has been commanded by Naomi, I want you to approach Boaz and do it at only this time and do it when he has done these things. And then she's saying, in a sense, I want you to become a messenger from me to Boaz. You're going to carry this message that you are the Redeemer and this is your responsibility and you're the go-between. You're my messenger. Naomi is asking Boaz through Ruth to be their kinsman redeemer because this is for Naomi also. I just thought that was so good. So what Ruth said was both a promise to Naomi, and the other thing I thought about was, all that thou sayest I will do, that's a promise to Naomi, but I thought it's also a vow to God. It's all that thou sayest I will do. I think that's a solemn vow before God. Her promise to Naomi, she said, all that thou sayest, I'm promising you that I'll do what you have said. The rest of that promise, I will do it, in a sense, is directed towards God. It's her voluntary vow before God, I will do it. And in Numbers 32, it says, if any man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. She's bound her soul, in a sense, with that vow to Naomi and to God. And once those words came out of her lips, then she was bound by oath to carry out what she said she would do. Verse 2, and then Deuteronomy 23:21 also talks about a vow. And Deuteronomy 23:21 says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not be slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee. So there's a seriousness to any promise that you make here. One of the commentators said, Nelson Bible Dictionary, I looked up a vow, and he says, a vow was a solemn promise or a pledge. So that's really what Naomi is hearing from Ruth's lips, a solemn promise or a pledge. It's a vow that binds a person to perform a specified act. I'll do what you've asked me to do. So it's a solemn promise and a pledge that bound her to do that, which she said she would do. Vowing was voluntary. Nobody could force her to do this. I mean, Naomi could present unto her, this is what you need to do if you want to lay hold of this greater blessing, but Ruth didn't have to do it. She could have said, no, I don't think I want to do that. She did. It's voluntary. But after the vow was made, it had to be performed. Vows, therefore, were to be made only after careful consideration. I mean, you had to think about it before you said it. So now we see Ruth fulfilling that promise and that vow and the care that she took to do this. She went down under the floor and she did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her to do. She did everything. She didn't alter it. She didn't add to it. And I thought about this aspect of when she went down and she did everything that she was told to do in the light of she took the word that was given unto her and she kept it and she guarded it. She didn't change it. It's a little bit like Paul told Timothy that he kept the faith. Remember in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, and Paul is giving his testimony. He said, I have kept the faith. I've guarded it. And when you look at the words to the Philadelphia church in Revelation 3:8, and Jesus commends them, Jesus said, you have kept my word. You have guarded my word. So when Naomi fulfilled that promise and that vow, when she went down and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her to do, she kept the faith. She guarded the word. So that when she stands before Boaz, or lays before Boaz, and maybe she stands up and she says what she needs to say, she's going to say exactly what she has been told to say and not add anything to it. And she's also done everything that she's supposed to do and not changed it in any way, not diluted it, not added her own idea of what she should do to maybe make it more appealing to herself or appealing to others. She gave the words that were given to her by Naomi right back to Boaz, and she didn't change them. She kept the faith. She kept his word, which is the testimony of the bride, the Philadelphia church. She did what she was told to do in every way, and I just think that's the testimony of the bride. And once she acknowledged the authority and wisdom of Naomi and who gave her those words, I'm giving you these words, Boaz, because Naomi gave them to me, and I'm giving them to you based upon her wisdom and her authority, then she's acknowledging Boaz or Naomi's authority over her and wisdom. And the moment she speaks those words and gives those words to Boaz, she's acknowledging Boaz's power and right to fulfill those words. So on one hand, when she says these words and does these things, she's saying with her actions and her words, this is Naomi's wisdom and this is Naomi's authority that move me. And when she gives these words to Boaz after having done everything, she's saying to Boaz, and you have the right and the power to fulfill these words. We trust in the words, I thought in closing, we trust in the words that have been given to us by Paul's gospel. And we trust that Jesus will fulfill these words and these promises. And we do as Ruth, we do according to all that we have been told. And what we don't realize is every time we do all that we have been told, we are taking those words of the gospel, Paul's gospel, that mold us and change us and perfect us, and we're giving them back to Jesus and saying, I've done everything that has been asked of me to do by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and it's up to you now to fulfill the rest of it. We do as Ruth, and we do this with perfect heart obedience, and we just wait for the blessing, which is what she's going to do here. So I think this is just such a wonderful portion of the word. She said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do, and she went down unto the floor, and she did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her to do. Praise the Lord.